This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. Brian Sauer of Assembly Required, Mark Gerwig of Mark II Designs, and Chris Scott of Grindhouse Toys are joining Joel and I. We've had now 45 minutes of chaos so that Chris can tell us a quick story of customizing.
Hold on real quick. Is Jason going to need to like run interference on somebody and then Chris ends up taking over the whole podcast?
I mean, we've done that before.
We have done this before. I think he's going to have to put you in the corner next. Oh, God. Okay. Yes. I can't take Mark seriously over there. I can't. He's hiding. He's out of screen on my
side. Fucking laughing, dude. In the shadows.
You are in the shadows. It looks like an early MySpace profile picture that I'm looking at.
Right. Oh, that's good. I like that. I mean, I'm going to do a screen grab. Hold on.
This might break the whole thing.
I just like that in the three or four times that I've recorded with both Mark and with you, Scott, or fucking Scott, Jesus Christ. I do this to you and Scott Brown all the time. I call Scott Chris and I call you Scott all the time.
It's not like you're wrong. It's my name, so it's fine.
But you and Brown, it's too goddamn close. And I talked to both of you about the same amount of times. But every time I've recorded with Mark and you, like, this has been chaos. So I think this is just... par for course. I feel like I should go pour a whiskey while you tell a story.
I know. I'm not even drinking. God. Mark is. I can tell. Look at him. Okay. I'm going to tell this story. I promise. So, okay. You want me to kind of start from...
Paint us a picture.
Okay. I joined the custom class for the first time at Joe Fest. I missed Joe Con because I was kind of late to the party. My first Joe Con was 2017 in Orlando. Funny story about that, because I'm going to go on multiple tangents because that's just how I talk. The first time Joe Fest was in Orlando, or Joe Con was in Orlando, I was like, oh, it's here all the time. I'll go next year, because I couldn't make it this year. And this was the first time it was in Orlando. So it was like 10 years earlier or some crap. So when it did come to Orlando in 2017, I was like, I have to go to this. I screwed that all up. And that's what really kind of reinvigorated my love of Joe collecting and getting back into all this stuff. I missed the custom class in 2018 because I don't remember. And I remember being pissed off when I found out that they gave out the concept case head. Go forward a little bit. My first custom class was at Joe Fest, and we did the Kraken, you know, that was sculpted by Kalen, and John, you know, provided all the parts. It was amazing. It was great. I lied. It wasn't Kraken. It was Skeletron. And that's really what got me kind of hooked. And I did every custom class after that. And I just really looked forward to it. Enjoyed just hanging out with everybody in the class, learning things, you know, painting, all that good stuff. This year, I really was just thinking about taking over the class after I found out that John had decided to step down. I know he's just super busy, you know, with his, you know, with Chicken Fried Toys and all of the, you know, awesome figures that he's working on. So I took that opportunity and talked to John. I reached out to John first and said, hey, you know, would you be cool with me, you know, with me taking over the class? I would like to take it to 6-inch because, you know, everybody collects classified now pretty much. I mean, I still like 4-inch too, but I know John hates a 6-inch pretty much. So, and he gave me his blessings, which was cool, and gave me a bunch of pointers and tips. And so I talked to Mark, you know, Mark Gerwig. He said it was pronounced whatever way, you know, we wanted to
go. Gerwig, whatever.
And but me and Mark and started talking about stuff, and we actually came up with a few ideas first for the class for different like figure kits, because I wanted to do like a figure kit of some sort where, you know, the custom class has always been about bringing in a figure, the donor figure, and either getting parts, because what John would do previously would be like a head, like a torso, and usually we would bring in different arms or legs, and we get like weapons, stuff like that. But I wanted to do something where a little less chopping figures up, especially since it was a class vitals. Like, you know, a lot of these are built great, and I wanted to do something where we could take a figure and just really like a kit, put different gear on, just change it up a little bit, or, you know, maybe a different head sculpt if we wanted to go that route.
Hold on. This is where Chris bait and switched me. So the first one that he really pitched me was getting, and this was right when the clutches were like at Target for $7 or whatever it was.
Grunt, come on.
I'm sorry. God, what did I say?
Get out of here. Clutch.
What did I say?
Clutch. At least you got an original 13 member, but like
he wears green. So it was when the grunts were at Target, not my targets, but you know what I'm saying. So the first thing he sends me is fucking Skidmark, and it's awesome. It's the reason I bought that fucking Desert Fox at Assembly Required.
He did.
Before we jump too far in, because as fast as Chris talks, we'll be done recording within like 13 minutes. So Alyosha, J.E. Russell, John, Chicken Fried Toys, Dime Novel Legends. He's got a lot of names. He has done the custom class for as long as I've known. I mean, Brian, I don't know if you've ever taken the custom class, but it's 15 years. I mean, longer. I'm not sure how long he's done the class.
Long time.
Every year, he has tried to bring something to the party that, for you guys that are super into the 4-inch modern sculpt era, something that you weren't getting at retail or weren't getting from the club.
Mm-hmm.
I think publicly he's talked about maybe stepping down. So this time he has officially taken a step back. He's no longer doing the custom class at Joe Fest 2024. And that's where you've stepped in. You're not starting with chopping up bodies.
No.
You're starting with customizing what's already there, bringing some kits to it. Instead of having to learn how to break a torso, it's going to be learning how to apply secondaries, get things on. So I want to come back to that because I have a lot of questions. You've brought in Mark because you and Mark became friends 3 or 4 years ago through Joe Fest, through pissing around with toys. I became friends with Mark because of you. You introduced us at Toylana when we got super drunk. Still one of my favorite times we've recorded.
It was a good time.
And then Brian, you are, at this point, you are everyone's pencil. You've designed everything for our entire community. So how did they rope you in? Or did you just magically appear when you knew someone was working on a project?
I just smelled it in the air. I figured that was my time. Time to jump in. Mark had approached me about doing some kind of crazy idea, helping out with like some kind of card back or something. I think this was at AR this year, wasn't it? Or was it a little bit before that?
I think I first mentioned it before AR, but knew mm-hmm. you were getting ready for AR and didn't even want to plant that seed in your head and do that to you.
Yeah.
So I think I finally told you a little more about it at AR.
Yes.
But in my head, it may still have been Skidmark at that point.
It was still Skidmark as of November.
I broke his heart,
dude. And Chris, his mind was made up. He was so excited to tell me like the new idea, and my heart just mm-hmm. fucking sank.
You're really selling the new idea to
the new
idea.
No,
listening.
I'm in love with the
You're
new
like,
idea.
Yeah, shit, I hate.
The new idea is awesome. My heart was set on this one thing that was also a really good idea.
He was just excited because I drew flaming toilet paper for Skidmark as a weapon.
that was one of the big sellers. I'm not gonna lie.
We gotta do it.
I really wanted to do the hip holster with the double barrel sawed off shotgun. That was gonna be your challenge.
So 2025 Skidmark, but we're not there yet.
Chris is gonna have 15 new ideas before then.
I already do right now.
But that just means that everyone that's listening to this needs to sign up and make 2024's custom class successful so that you guys are willing to come back and do it in 2025.
You never know. There could be some new bucks that we could utilize for Skidmark. I mean, Grunt would have worked, but the pants were bothering me because those pants, I didn't really like the tucked in blouse to pant, you know, boots. There's just something about that original Skidmark having those tighter, almost like he's got freaking like joggers on, you know, pants and something of that nature. So I felt full orange, like bloused boots would just be a little ridiculous. I needed some, you know, you need just a little smaller of a boot and an orange colorway. So new idea. I don't even remember what I was doing, but I've had this idea for years. I've wanted to make this figure. When the base figure, which I'm going to tell you in a second, came out, I was like, oh man, I'm calling it the Cobra Warlord. It's Evil Sergeant Slaughter. It is, you know, Iraqi sympathizer style. In my head, Sergeant Slaughter was captured, which was not a small feat. You know how many Cobras died taking him in, and he has now been put into the brainwave scanner by Dr. Mindbender, and he is Cobra's ultimate weapon. And so I was like, let's take. I'm a big wrestling fan growing up. I remember renting the VHS of WrestleMania 7 like over and over again as a kid and just watching Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter over and over again as a kid because I don't know, I rented that so many times. And I was like, this just feels right to have a Cobra Slaughter. And really, I just wanted to design a title belt. I think that's really all it was.
We will talk about that some more. Of this whole thing, Chris was just like cranking stuff out, boom, boom, boom. And but like the belt, like he was so excited and wanted to do it so perfect. It was the only thing he was nervous about it. Like I know, because like if I get real excited about something, I'll put it off because I'm afraid I won't do it up to my expectations.
Yes.
And that's what he was doing with his belt.
So the Iraqi sympathizer Slaughter, was that the seventh WrestleMania?
Yes. So WrestleMania 7 was 1991. Slaughter, that.
Wow.
Yeah, 91. 91. Well, it would have been after it had aired because it was the tape at the video store. You know, I rented the tape. So I was probably like 7, 8, you know, somewhere in there. Royal Rumble in January of 91, Sergeant Slaughter had won his first world title for WWF back then from the Ultimate Warrior. He had, Macho Man had, Macho King at the time had, you know, screwed Warrior over. Slaughter wins the title. And then he's sitting there. And this was right after Slaughter had got off of G.I. Joe. He was not allowed to do G.I. Joe when he was with the WWF. Vince McMahon didn't want him to. It was a whole thing. And so he went and wrestled for AWA for 5 years while he did the Joe stuff. Well, when he came back to WWF, they had this idea to make him a heel and make him this villain who has shown, you know, sympathy for the war, you know, in Iraq and all that stuff with Desert Storm. And he had General Adnan, I think, in his corner. Anyways, he wrestles Hogan. I know the G.I. Joe podcast has turned into a wrestling podcast, but he wrestles Hogan at WrestleMania, loses the belt to Hogan, you know, stars and stripes are, you know, flying high kind of thing. And Hogan wins it, the title back. But one thing I always thought was Sergeant Slaughter has a G.I. Joe title belt. And I always thought that was really cool, you know, and it's the Winged Eagle, which is the belt that he held. And it's just modified enough to have the G.I. Joe logo on the side. So when he brings to the shows, and I always thought that was really cool, but I'm like, well, he was a bad guy when he was a champ. And then the wheels started going a little bit. And I'm like, a Cobra title belt would be pretty fun. And Evil Slaughter. And I knew doing a custom kit for this wouldn't be a crazy amount of painting for a class, because I wouldn't have to teach anybody how to paint eyes, because that Slaughter is perfect. All we had to do is a few parts to bring this character to life. And I could teach, you know, a lot of things that, you know, even if it's a new painter, it won't be that difficult. I can make a good figure. I can show somebody how to make a good figure with limited paint skills with this kit, which I think will be a lot of fun. And I hope a lot of people get excited about it.
So that actually answers a lot of questions for me, because I was curious if you were going to be walking people through how to paint the accessories or the whatever you're bringing. So it sounds like yes.
Yes. Yes.
I think from a painting perspective, if you can get the light colors of the Cobra Warlord's gear, painting dark colors is easier. So you're really learning a nice skill, or at least the beginnings of a nice skill, by learning how to paint the light colors first.
You've been doing your Warhammer minis, haven't you?
Oh, fuck, dude. Like, anytime yellow.
Oh, God. Yellow.
Well, at least you two are both into the GW paints, I imagine.
Yeah. Ushanti Bone.
I have that. Let's see. Where is it? It's up here somewhere.
Screaming something or other. Screaming Skull.
Screaming Skull. Screaming Skull. And yeah. Ushanti Bone right there.
Yeah, it's all about the nun oil. I'm on Team Army Painter. You guys do you?
That's the only army painter I use is my, I mean, I have a few, but I never use them. It's the white, my matte white works well. Yeah. Warlock purple though. Is that the one I used for, I'm getting sidetracked, but like for.
Yeah. It's like Klingon blood. It's a really good purple.
It's pink. No, the pink. It's definitely not sure. Purple, but it's, this is what I used on the Dread Troopers.
Okay.
And it was super bright, which I really liked, but I don't use a lot of army painter. I mean, it's good, but. I don't know.
When I got back into painting, you guys all know, like, you don't use testers for anything,
right?
I use testers dull coat all the time, so I don't know what he's talking about.
Ugh, their glue is trash. Their putty is trash. Paints are trash. Those brushes. Oh my god! Why do they even put those brushes in with their anyone? I had gotten the
we've hit a nerve.
The army painter sells a set with like 120 colors. And I had gotten my hands on that, and I've just, like, as they've emptied, I've gotten and added some shit. It's really hard to, like, really switch gears when you've got 100-plus paints in front of you. Sorry. Continue, Chris.
Once again, every time the two of you are on, it's Tangent City. Brian's going to have to take over just so we have a cohesive conversation.
Poor Brian.
Oh, it's all right. I'm just here working away, just drawing.
I like that he's very on top of things. I could be probably doing something, but I'm not. I should be.
Does Slaughter know that you guys are creating the Bizarro version of him?
That is a great question.
He does not. So yet. Fast forward yet. So we talked to Ed, because I kind of skipped over that a little bit. Me and Mark had a meeting with Ed about Joe Fest and doing the custom class, and we showed him the Slaughter. And he really liked it. But we have not told Slaughter yet. I think we're going to surprise him with it, you know, because we're not making anything on, you know, with the character. So it's more, and it's not even it's really just the parts to make this character, you know. And so Ed's pretty sure Slaughter's going to love it regardless, just because he loves that kind of stuff and he'll want one. So I plan on painting one for Slaughter 100%. And that'll just make me, I'll just, you know, fanboy all day.
Oh my god,
long for that. So
you should see how far you can push it with the accessories. Do like an upside down American flag.
Well, you know, it's funny because Slaughter wouldn't burn the American flag back during WWE. You know, during the thing, they wanted him to, and he's like, no, I can't. That's too far. So he burnt the Hulkamania flag. And so I even thought of something like that. I was like, oh, like a burning GI Joe flag would be really cool.
Burning the Hulkster's flag is even worse than the American flag.
Right? I mean, it means the same thing. Like, gosh.
And you also start to walk into some territory when you start actually using other people's IP. So I can understand why we're not doing that.
Yes.
So we had this meeting with Ed and we discussed this stuff. And Ed said something about, you know, we were curious where Slaughter was like that day. I forget what it was, but he's like, just look on Twitter. He's on Twitter all day. And so I like went over to Twitter and like looked him up, and he was following me. And I do you remember this, Chris? And I had a big stupid grin for like the rest of the day.
So excited. So excited. So I love it.
But you didn't drop this on him yet. So what's gonna happen is that the first person who leaves the class is going to run over and get a signature.
We have a plan for that, but I think that like when he shows up, we're gonna be the first people that.
We're hoping maybe we could talk to him Thursday night kind of thing. So I'll have the stuff painted already and just give it to him. So that's the other thing. You know, Mark talked to Brian here about doing, you know, a card back for him. So you'd have something, you know. So what we talked to with Ed was, you know, just printing a bunch of those and giving them to Slaughter as well as a, you know, for people that'll bring money to his table, you know, so people can get it signed if they want to. this all goes on to the fact that hopefully Slaughter likes it's all of the stuff here. But the other thing is, it's a Cobra Warlord. It could be anybody, really, when you think about it. You could, I mean, not buy the card back, but the kit, could you could bring in Roadblock. You could bring in Gung Ho if you want. You could put it on Big Boa. Nobody, you know, there's no real rule here, but it's Slaughter.
So you bring up Brian's card, and Brian, I know you're working on the art right now.
Kinda, yeah.
Is this going to be in the same style and basically in the pantheon of all of your other card backs?
No, this is going to take on more of the traditional Joe painted look, be more of a more traditional looking.
What we're doing with it, though, is it's going to be a like retro card, but same scale as the retro classified cards.
So nice and sizable.
You know, it should just right alongside those if you've got them. Kind of fit in.
That's incredible. And I ask because, like, I think I am missing one of your file cards, Brian.
Oh,
how dare you?
How could you? Yeah.
Simply because I didn't notice at AR, and so I am actually missing one, but I have all the others. Your cards are fantastic. And so moving away from that style and into more of the traditional painted and also into the 6-inch classified scale, you know, your cards are hefty and thick, and they, without sounding too gross, they're hefty. they feel good. They feel like traditional file cards. They don't feel like the generic repro cards that I've made for myself, you know, or other people have made. They feel like honest Hasbro file cards. And so that's very exciting. So you get not just secondaries that you can put on anyone, even though it's meant for Slaughter, but you also get a nice piece of artwork that's going to go with everything else that you have in your collection. And as we're talking about, Slaughter will be there. So you can have him sign your card, your art, your figure, or you could show it to him. You can get Clover clutched by the Cobra Warlord. There's a lot here that you guys are doing for Joe Fest 2024.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is we've been working on it for a little while now. So like sculpting's practically at the end almost. Mark's, you know, been having to deal with me like, no, do this, do that. You son of a bitch. He's yelling at me constantly. But no, he's been doing an amazing job on the sculpt. Brian's been pumping away. He started doing art before we were like even ready. We're like, he's like, no, I'm excited. Like, and I love it. I love it. You know, the excitement everybody has for the project that we're just putting together, and it's really coming together really well.
When I told Alexander what was happening, he immediately started demanding to be in the class.
Good. Smart man.
Well, I've always been on record about how bad I am about being in the class because I'm setting up the booth or I'm walking around talking and I forget. But the last 2 years, I've been in AVAX Labs vehicle customizing class at Assembly Required, and I've had a blast. It's worth coming to class. It's worth, I don't know what, do you guys already have a price point on what the class is going to be for at Joe Fest?
Not yet. That's through Ed. It's all going to be, you know, dictated by Ed, but it should be similar pricing as previous classes. Nothing too out of the ordinary. And it'll also be for people who want to buy it. It will be at the same place where you would buy like your Joe Fest tickets. It's right on the website. And as soon as it goes up, we will be showing it on all our social medias and all that stuff. And Ed will definitely be sharing it as well. It's going to be, I believe our kind of date is March 1st to kind of unveil some stuff is our goal right now. I want to get some really good photography done because I was talking to, you know, my buddy Eddie American. You guys know him. He does amazing toy photography. So I want to get some really cool shots of the actual kit painted and just show people what they could have if they come to the class.
Is that the same one that did your Dread Trooper photography?
Yes. Yes. He does. Eddie does all the pictures for Fresh Monkey Fiction. He does for Action Force, the Marauders. He does some stuff for Spiro Toys. He does so much with the independent toy and really just everybody. He just takes amazing, amazing pictures.
This is very exciting. I don't have a lot of 4-inch. So if I was going to show up to John's class, which I always wanted to, but never found my way there, I would have to buy a whole lot of crazy shit. But classifieds on the shelf, Slaughters are available. We had a few Slaughters at Deschos Toy Den at Winterfest. I mean, they're easily available. A's favorite character is Slaughter, so I have an extra already for him.
awesome.
You know, looking at the title belt, the vest, the glasses, the beret, this incredible grenade launcher.
Yeah, with a shotgun underslung. And that was Chris and I were like, we need to come up with something ridiculous for the gun. And so like he sent me like a drawing he did, and it's basically like if an AK-47 was a drum-fed grenade launcher, and oh, by the way, we'll put a pump-action shotgun underneath the barrel of that.
That was one thing we wanted to do, though, was I wanted to make sure, like how you had said, that it's an easily, a readily available figure, pretty much, even though it's not like at Walmart, but like you can, if you want one, it's not that hard to find. I know some people had found them at Follies. Luckily, I found a few myself. That's actually how we were able to sculpt stuff, because I sent one to Mark and he painted it white and scanned it into his computer. And so that worked out pretty well. We needed a figure, and that was, you know, the custom class, it won't work if I'm like, hey, yeah, bring in Serpentor. You know, people are gonna be like, I ain't buying that shit. You know, like, that's expensive. You know, you want to have something that's readily available. And that's why I originally thought about maybe doing Grunt, you know, and doing a Skidmark figure. And I still plan on doing that later. But Slaughter, I think, would just be a fun figure to customize. And just this hulking character, evil, you know, warlord, you know, not evil, really. He's just been brainwashed. So it's a little more fun. And it fits perfectly with that G.I. Joe kind of the Larry Hama comics and stuff like that, you know, with the brainwave scanner. So
how many Dread Troopers does it take to take down a Cobra
Warlord? They would probably make a deal to work together, because the dreads would just be like, you know what, this guy is a guy we could utilize on our team to take over multiple universes. And you know, because I mean, the Cobra Warlord could probably take out a few different planets on his own. So I'm pretty sure the Dreads would, recruit him up into their cause of world or multiverse domination.
I think what compels me a lot with this, I mean, other than the obvious, like, I get cool shit for a figure I already have. The guy himself is here if I want to have something signed. I'm getting a cool card back from Brian. What I really like here is that the three of you have joined forces. Ever since I've met all three of you, every conversation has been about collaboration and friends and succeeding and just bringing everybody up to a level of, I mean, just real professionalism and real clean, exciting, moving our hobby and our community forward. And Joel and I, you and I talk about this constantly, right? It's you guys are collaborating and making a simple idea so much more. And John did it for years with Kalen and everyone else that helped him, you know, even though he was the face of the show. And so Chris, you're the new John, you're the face of the show. But just like John collaborated, you are collaborating, and the group is fantastic. And the fact that I can't have a conversation with you guys without doubling our time and laughter and jokes and chirping and talking shit, it's exciting. The pictures I have in front of me are wild. I mean, I'm excited for the gun as much as I'm excited for the vest. I'm excited for every little piece is on its own really neat. And I don't know how you're doing the belt, but I showed the belt to A and he's pumping his fist. He's never seen Slaughter wrestle.
That's awesome.
Even though he's never seen Slaughter wrestle, he knows what a belt, it's a belt.
Yeah, of course.
He's just seen the belt when he's met Slaughter in person, and we've done the breakfast with Slaughter, which I don't know if he's bringing that back, but I assume he is. You know, again, if you want a real Slaughter experience in June, this is going to be a visceral part of that. And the fact that you took it off of something he did, the Iraqi sympathizer when he came back to the WWF and he fought Hogan, and then you're modernizing it, you're bringing it into Cobra. I don't know. I think it's special and I'm excited for it. I don't know. I'm going to start rambling unless somebody wants to jump in.
That's awesome. Like, that makes me happy that you're excited, and especially A, getting excited about the title belt. And it's just, I've always been a sucker for that stuff. You know, I got stuff sitting here right here, you know, and it's going to be the kit, all this stuff. So you asked how stuff was going to be done. It's all going to be 3D printed by Mark. Because I don't want to do it. No, because no, Mark does amazing work.
That's the actual reason he holds
it. It's really true.
I have Mark's factory weapons and I have his 3D printed weapons. And I can tell you that all of them are in play. I think that's fantastic. Mark does a great job at 3D printing. The stuff I've gotten from Mark is a kid plays with it. So that just speaks to its hardiness.
Yeah. So yeah, Mark does amazing work with his prints, and it's weird for me to say nice things about him, but he does really good work.
Just for a moment, just for one moment.
I know it hurt. It hurts.
I'll put on a timer. I'll let you know when it's been 30 seconds.
But he does amazing, you know, prints, and I know he's going to kill this. His sculpts are fantastic on it, and so everything is going to be 3D printed. The vest, the beret, and the title belt strap will be made out of F69 flex resin. I've had really good luck with it. Like, I know nobody can see this on whoever's listening to it, but you guys can. This is resin. This is 3D printed, and it's
no shit.
It's awesome.
So that's crazy flexible. That I was going to ask you what that material was. So
yep,
I love it.
It's so that's F69. It's a great resin. And so the belt will be made out of that. The plates will be a harder resin just to give it that kind of different. The plates will go on and there's going to be little spots. So we'll teach anybody in the class how to put that belt together as well. You know, put all the parts onto to the figure, and it's all going to be, you know, most of the stuff you'll still even be able to use from Slaughter, the figure. You know, the sunglasses are still the classified ones. He has tons of hands. He's got the whistle, which, you know, if you want to put it on there, you can. If not, he's got the what is it, the baton, you know, stuff of that nature that we don't even have to bring because it'll come with the figure if you bring a new Slaughter. That's why we really went into, let's do the belt, let's do the vest, the beret, and the gun. All things that I could teach somebody how to paint pretty easily, even with the belt. There's opportunity for a lot of detail in there if you want it. But if not, you know, washes, dry brushing, all that good stuff. You know, we're going to go over all the basics of painting this stuff. And I don't know. I think it's going to be, I hope it goes over well with everybody. I hope people enjoy it, getting to paint their own figure. Because it's just an experience, I think. I remember the first time, that first custom class I did that Skeletron, and I finished it in class. You know, it was one of the first figures I really fully painted in my life. And I just was like, wow, this is cool. Like I went outside, I was taking pictures of it. You know, it was a finished product. Whereas the last few years I end up talking too much and don't get anything painted, but I want to have people have that, you know, like, hey, I made a figure and now I have it. And also have the colorway I went with is very similar to what, you know, the tans and, you know, the Iraqi type uniform that he wore in that time period. But if people don't feel like they want to paint joints, like the knees and stuff, they can leave the camo pants. It's not going to hurt it. It's still going to look cool. Same with, like, I wanted to do something where we didn't paint joints, like on the arms. He's got, you know, no sleeves. So that way somebody can still have a toy that can be played with, like if A wants to play with it, or if somebody just wants to do cool poses, they're not having to worry about paint rub. And I feel like that goes a long way. I mean, anytime I try to customize or paint something myself for a figure, I try to figure out those joints because I hate paint rub on joints.
Well, and you are, over the last couple of years, you've been the up and coming community indie toy line paint master. So who better to learn from, right?
No kidding. It's worth kind of mentioning because no shit. This dude's doing, like, how many of the paint masters have you done have been in that toy collector magazine that's hanging on the wall behind you? Every goddamn issue, Chris has got like 10 figures in the fucking magazine.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate. I've been very fortunate getting to work with, you know, Bill's been amazing working with Bill from Fresh Monkey, and getting to work with a few other companies here and there has been awesome. And I like painting toys, man. It's a cool, you know, gig to do. And I just want to share that with other people. So Custom Class was like, okay, I could teach some people how to do this. I think this will be awesome.
Right.
So real quick though, for me, man, what are the lines you've done stuff for? Longbox Heroes, Operation Monster Force.
Yep. Eagle Force.
Of course.
I did the there's a Nancy Drew figure coming out.
The Bad Santa stuff.
The Bad or the Naughty or Nice collection. What else have I done? I did I'm about to be working on The Prisoner. That's Gavin Hignite's hopefully I'm not saying his last name wrong because I only just read it. Working on that soon. And it might be. I don't know. Something like that.
Like that might Chris be. Earlier he's like, I start all these things and I hardly ever actually finish painting anything. It's not actually true.
Haven't you done some OR stuff too?
So I haven't done OR yet. As soon as Carson was like, yes, we want you to do some of the Paint Masters, like, you can't take it back now. That's it. I'm in. I'm excited to do some Operation Recall because, you know, getting to work on, you know, that's another thing. Mark over there, you know, did all that sculpting and so good.
Right. So Mark just blew you up. But Mark, how many toy lines have you also worked on?
6 or 7, I guess, at this point.
See?
Plus your own factory things.
Yeah.
I'm not the one teaching people how to paint. Like, you're a professional painter.
That's true.
Have you said that out loud to yourself yet?
When I first got paid for it, I told everybody that I was a professional
painter. Okay. It's weird, right?
It is weird. I was just like, I'm a professional. I mean, somebody just paid me to do this. So, I mean, that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
No, it's, but I've seen Mark's painting too. Mark is no slouch, man. He sells his stuff. You produce a ton of shit that you paint yourself. Like, I can't even imagine doing that.
Yeah, but it's all quick paint stuff. No kidding. I think I talked to Brian about this. Like, I've learned that I can really only be good at one thing at a time. Like, because I used to paint. I used to draw. Like, I thought I was going to be a comic book artist. But I don't actively do all these things. So all those skills atrophy. So I'm just going to do the 3D sculpting, and I'll be good at that.
Well, and you are, and that's why we bring it up, because these things are coming from your design, your shop, with Chris's input drawings and Chris's painting, and then...
Which is awesome.
I mean, so that's what I mean by this collaboration. Like, it's fantastic. And then also, yes, getting to learn how to paint from everyone's new favorite paint master, who can't even remember all the lines he's worked on. But then you guys are also partnering with Brian, and Brian, you're the veteran here, right? These are the young collectors who still have puppy excitement, and you're over here just drawing away and working. You've been designing things for our community for 13, 14 years?
Something like that. Yeah, it's been a while. But no, I mean, these guys are, you know, they're getting paid for it. I'm doing it for fun.
I don't remember. I don't think I'm getting paid much. No.
you guys are getting
something
paid.
Something is something. Yeah, exactly. No, it is. It's fun to see, like you said, the community pull together. And that was the idea with this whole thing, this collaboration. And from my end of it, this is just the beginning of a couple things, hopefully, that we'll be doing, and more so down the road. So at least I know for sure I'm keeping Mark plenty busy. So it's just fun to contribute to the hobby again. Like, you know, you take so much from it, you take so much, you know, you collect it, you gather it, you love it, you hoard it. And it's just nice to put something out there for everybody else to enjoy, to, you know, reflect on it.
I mean, I have so much of your stuff in the house, and I have so much of Mark's stuff in the house. I am certainly a believer and an advocate. And I want to paint with Chris. I want to have him stand over the shoulder and go, is that how you're going to do it? Like that? Like that?
You call those brush strokes. You're going to kill it.
You know, I called Chris and was like, listen, I bought an airbrush. And he was like, what's wrong with a regular brush? And I was like, well, here's my setup. And he's like, where's your wet palette? And I'm like, God damn it. So,
which I don't even use anymore. So I stopped using a wet palette.
Yeah, you've moved completely to the little stress pop things.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my new, I love this thing. Because guess what? This is how you clean your paint out. And it pulls right out.
No shit. So I have an issue where, like, I have a wet palette, And every time I go to use it, I have to first remove like the mushrooms that are growing from the goddamn sponge.
I have a lot of issues with, I like the wet palette, but I had a problem because it was like, it just took too much effort to get everything ready and then and mess with your paints. And then you're playing around with it and you're like, oh, it's just killing time. And I got too much work to do. And so I'd seen some reel or something, and I'm not really a reel watcher. Like, sure. I don't like people send me reels and I forget to watch them. I'm like that friend. So like, I don't even remember where I saw this, and it was somebody having one of those poppets and they put paint in it, and it was great for, you know, and then you dry it, they dry, it dries the next day and you pop it out. And I was like, that's really smart. And I have dropper bottles, so I don't use much paint now. I usually drip a little bit into this poppet. I take my brush, drip it in my water, put it in there, mix it up, and then it's nice and thinned out, and we're good to go. It's so nice.
Well, I think, you know, you're in Florida where you don't need a wet palette. The air is humid enough.
It's true. You're not wrong there. Yeah, it's fine. I can just use my desk here.
Well, the custom class will be in Georgia. It'll be like same climate.
Yes. Me and Mark were even talking about that. I'm like, let's just get a bunch of these poppets. It'll be way easier than a bunch of like cups and pallets and crap like that.
I think also that would be really smart in terms of intimidation. Painting is something that can intimidate people. Mm-hmm. And we got to take this home. I don't want it to look like shit when I walk out of the class. I don't want to pay for something that looks like shit. I don't want to take something home that I'm no longer proud of. So having those poppets definitely would reduce your intimidation, makes it a little more fun, a little more accessible. And when you're having fun, you're painting better. When you're stressed out, you're painting worse.
True.
I mean, like, that's kind of with everything, right? Learn how to breathe through it. So I think that's a really cool way to help, you know, anybody that's new to the class, right? Like, because not all of us are Dawn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dawn's been doing this forever. He's going to show up and be like,
forever.
Hey, do you want some help painting? Nah, I got it.
Yeah, I'm so excited. We're actually, speaking of Dawn, I talked to him the other day, and we're going to do a dry run on the custom class. Like, you know, as soon as we have the parts ready, there's a few guys that are going to kind of do a little test on it to see how it goes. And Dawn's definitely one of those guys. So, because he'll definitely be helping also at the custom class, you know, walk around. And like you said, full veteran here of painting. He's been doing it so long, and he's a fantastic customizer. Same with Johnny, KR Customs. I don't know if any of you guys follow that. He's one of my good buddies. And then my buddy Ben wants to do the thing too, and he's been painting forever. He makes some amazing dios back in 20 plus years ago. He wants to get back into it, but he's got the skills too. So yeah, we're gonna have some good guys that are walking around and, you know, making sure everybody's just having, you know, I can't be everywhere. So I think it's gonna go really well.
I think that's good. I think having people that can help and be there for questions or for concerns, because lowering intimidation, lowering the stress level brings people in. You know, you're making it an inviting and fun environment where people can sit with someone who works on toys, but also learn in a fun way and bring home something that will be fun, that they're paying to have a good day and to bring home a good product that they can then go get Cobra clutched over.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I just want everybody to have something that they're just proud of, and they have something they can't get anywhere else. And the fact that they made it themselves, you know, it's fun.
It's a whole experience. Yeah.
I'm already thinking about, you know, with the bats, we already have bats with sort of broken heads that Hasbro gave out. So, you know, you could easily set up a dio of Slaughter beating the shit out of bats, and then Slaughter in the chair. And then at the end of it, you have...
Oh, storytelling. I like it. Sorry, continue.
You have your warlord. No. Like this, I'm excited. And then your photographer is... phenomenal.
So good.
The guy doing your card back is phenomenal. The guy doing your equipment is phenomenal. I've seen your painting up close and personal. I know it's phenomenal.
Thank you.
I don't know what else to say, but other than like, this is fucking exciting.
I'm so excited. And just from what I've seen so far, Brian's card back, it's really coming. It's so fun. I love it. And then with Eddie's photography, I can't wait, because I want to show all that stuff. And with Eddie, I've got an idea ready for, I want to have, like, I think it would be really cool to have Slaughter standing over like a pile of like defeated or dead, Joe's just this pile, you know, maybe with the Cobra flag or something, you know, like Mark was just saying to me, I think would be really fun. Just as that kind of, I've always been a huge fan also of that whole, like, flipping something, you know, on its head, you know, that shattered worlds kind of feel, that, you know, bad guy's a good guy now. And so I think this could be something that hopefully will fit into a lot of people's classified collections.
Talking about flipping it on and doing the shattered worlds, I mean, this means that someone's going to have to paint a goatee on Slaughter.
true.
I mean, if he's evil, he needs a goatee.
I was thinking of adding, like, when I paint one of the first ones, I kind of wanted to play around with it a little bit, maybe give him a little stubble, you know, around the you know, do that. And one thing I kind of want to do is maybe give him some, like, sunken in eyes, almost like that no sleep, like he's to show that, because I mean, Slaughter has been one of our heroes growing up, you know, with G.I. Joe and all that. So, like, have him, I don't want him to just be like fully evil, like he's been turned into this, you know, to show that he still can come back, you know.
Of course.
And so I want to play around with a few of those little ideas. Just from what you're at a tangent, but I was thinking about one thing I kind of want to do as well is have a few different colorways. I say this because I like to put on a whole lot of work for myself, and who knows if I'll actually get through it. But I would like to have a few different Slaughters on the table so people can see while they're painting theirs. And then they don't have to paint it that main colorway if they don't want to. I was going to do like a Crimson Guard colors maybe, or a Python Patrol, you know, fun Cumberlaw, stuff.
Sure, just the whole like nine.
That. So, yeah. So, the vet, the plant, the idea for the vest, the design for the vest was a bit of a mix. Like, without the color, because the color is in the original design that heel Iraqi sympathizer Slaughter, but the way the vest looks is a kind of a cross of a Crimson Guard and a Viper. And
those are my two favorites. So
right, so but like you could easily go those color directions with it.
That also gives it a very classic uniform look while also being like Cobra weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I love this.
Yep. You could give him the Hollywood Hogan facial hair color way.
I want and it's
the
funny,
shoe polish the shadow.
Yeah, that dark black beard.
And the airbrushed face.
I've had a unfinished Hogan custom for like ever. It was on a roadblock body. I just haven't finished it. But yeah, he was a Hollywood Hogan head. I wanted him to come and be Trouble in Paradise style, you know, G.I. Joe Hogan. And so you never know, that could be something down the road too. You know, put that out there. I like, for customizing me personally, I don't, and there's nothing wrong with this if people do it, but like a lot of people will customize characters that I know Hasbro's gonna make. Cool, I'm gonna wait for those guys. Like, I would like to make the batshit crazy stuff or the things that we're never going to get, you know. That's what's fun for me, is stuff that you wouldn't normally see. You know, I would love to do, and me and Mark were talking about this the other day, and I would love to do a Rocky Balboa G.I. Joe. You know, we never got it, even though we were supposed to, and then it fell apart. I think that would be a really fun one as well.
After you talking about Slaughter standing on a pile of Joes, I keep thinking about all the different versions of Steel Brigade helmets that Hasbro has put out in the classified line now, between... Mm-hmm. The one coming with Clutch.
Grunt. Which is my favorite.
Yeah, the one that came with Grunt. The two legit Steel Core ones. Having a pile of those guys on the ground now.
Oh, yeah.
Excites me. And when you look at, you know, Rage and Spoon will be there. So if you have your Slaughter and you have some Bats and some Steel Brigade, you walk right over to Rage and Spoon. You buy a couple pieces of Complex.
Yep.
You have your corridor right there. Now we need to figure out what's appropriate for a 6-inch brainwave scanner. And
true.
And people could, I mean, this is a full service.
Mark, start sculpting the brainwave scanner. Get on it. We need it to at least have it at the show.
By next
week.
Have
we not done that through your Patreon anyways?
No. Like, no shit. That'd be a nice, quick, easy one to do for that.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
See, look at
don't think I didn't already think of this. Like,
I just want, now I want Slaughter just sitting in it. Like, I want to have, like, we need that as a display piece.
If you remember those early Joe comics where Dr. Venom was still involved.
Because Dr. Venom is the guy that built that thing.
Yep.
That silhouette of Snake Eyes with the real arched back as he's just clearly in pain. His arms and feet are buckled down. His head is down.
Yep.
But his whole center body is off the machine. And then you start thinking about Slaughter before your custom class and that silhouette. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do Ed's job for him. I'm just.
I love it.
I'm already ready.
I freaking love it. I just kind of see, like, I already see Slaughter sitting in the brainwave scanner like it's like Marv at the end of Sin City. Or it's not the end, but you know what I mean? When he's in the electric chair and he's like, is that all you got? <It's> like,
Joel's going to have to go undo his cell pile now.
No, the more you make, the more I'm selling. I have to be true to myself. I only like 4-inch. The rest can go in the garbage. With that,
I will have maybe another 4-inch figure at Joe Fest. So,
well, I was going to try to weasel that in and ask if there's the next installment of your universe.
Yeah, he's at China right now. He's already in China. I'm just waiting for Chinese New Year to finish so they can, you know, get the paint samples out to me and or show me. And, you know, Brian might be working on some packaging design.
With all of this going on, you know, we've talked a lot about how much I enjoy all of you guys working together and how much I enjoy your stuff. I'm excited about the custom class. If I can skip out on building the booth and be in the class, that would be lovely. Joel will have to build the booth for me, and Todd will have to complain about how I'm never there. But at least A will be in the room. He is freaking out excited. We don't know what the price is yet. That'll come through Joe Fest, and then you guys will be able to talk about it. As you move into this new role, Chris, you know, you and Russell are friends.
Yeah.
So this wasn't just a business call of, you know, Mr. Russell, I hear you're taking a step back. May I, you know? You guys are friends, so are you still reaching out to him? Is he helping at all? Is he kind of completely out of it? Is advisor role like?
Well, so yeah, we haven't talked in a while about any of this. I need to actually reach out to him and just, you know, he doesn't even know what character I'm making. All I told him was it was classified, you know, and then he gave me his, you know, well wishes. Probably not fully well. He usually is sarcastic. You know, and he calls me an ass or something,
sure.
Which that's how you know he likes you. And no, John, so he is not part of this, but is he going to even be at Joe Fest this year?
He is sending one of his guys to DFW and he is coming to Joe Fest.
I am glad that Russell is still coming to Joe Fest.
We started talking about this shit, fuck, like last September, Chris, or earlier.
Because we wanted to make sure John was done and cool with it. And then we had to make sure we had an idea that actually was good, and we wanted to make sure we were bringing something to Ed that wasn't like, hey, we want to do the custom class, and he's like, okay, what do you got? And we're like, fuck, we know. We wanted to come prepared. So
yeah,
well, speaking of coming prepared, you are now like deeply indebted to Brian, but you still haven't shown up to his show, Chris.
Jesus.
I know, because every time it's been bad, because, you know, like we said, he's in November. But no, I want to go so bad. I actually got like all the stuff for it, like not last year, but the year before. And I was like supposed to go, and I had my tickets and everything. And
I know you did, because it came from me.
You did. You're right. Hey, remember what you said? It's late. Leave me alone. You did send me everything. It only took 2 months. I remember.
Yes,
now.
It only took 2 or 6 months for me to ship it. And then it was the ugliest fucking box I've ever put together.
Hey, it made it. It made it. I still have the calendar up here. It's only, you know, 2 months past, you know, the dates that were in it. But
do you want to end by saying anything nice about John?
I mean, it might be hard, but yeah, I can do that. No. Yeah, John, I'm just super pumped that, you know, I had John's blessing. John really was a huge part of why I even got into painting in the first place. Just like I had said before, that was what got me customizing, was at his custom class. And so I am greatly indebted to him, you know, due to that. And so I want to hopefully inspire some new people and get them painting. And, you know, there's some big shoes to fill. I'm glad he'll be there at Joe Fest because I can, you know, harass him a little bit at the show. And just the nicest guy. Well, that's saying too much. He's not that nice, but I love him. Mark, you got anything?
John Russell took me to barbecue dinner after the DFW Joe show last year. It was really good.
I mean, that sounds like some good barbecue. Sounds pretty good.
So yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. Like that was that we were talking about that barbecue dinner for months ahead of time. Like he knew it was like I'm going to be his excuse to go to this place. But it was I want to say it was Saturday after the show, and like his whole crew came, and my friends that I was staying with, who had just moved to Texas a few months earlier, they came. So now like that's their barbecue place.
You met John for the first time.
At that table,
that right? was your first experience with
John.
John,
100%,
awesome.
Yeah,
drunken podcasts.
I swear to God, I thought this podcast was Chris's. I really did know.
No, you did. You did too.
No, I swear to God, I thought you and Jason did the podcast together.
You sat by Joel like before that.
Bro, I didn't say a fucking word to her. I like saw him. At the corner of my eye, like a couple times, Jason, I did not lay eyes on that whole weekend. So I just didn't know.
That's why Joel and I don't have our own separate booth. Like Destro's Toy Den is where Order of Battle is.
Yeah.
When we had the one time we had our own table, right? You saw Joel once. You probably saw A's shit all over the floor.
A kept touching my guns.
Yes.
He would just stand there touching my guns. Me and my friend were just like, who's this fucking kid? Where's his goddamn parents? Why is Ron Brudat like hanging out with him?
Oh my God. Ron and Jenny, I cannot begin to express how honored I am the way they treat Alexander.
Isn't that so cool?
I'm really honored by it, like how much they enjoy him. Because, I mean, I'm friends with Ron and Jenny because they like Alexander. They didn't know who the fuck I was before that.
They couldn't find you at the podcast booth.
Correct.
They were looking.
I don't mean this in any, like, this is not an exaggeration. All three of you guys, whether it's the podcast or anything else I can do, I'm always available.
And I appreciate that, man. You're always awesome.
I love all three of you. I like what all three of you do. Anything I could do to be part of the team, whether it's just this or more. You always have us. I know Joel feels the same way. We've talked about it many times.
It's a great time, man. Like I'm so glad I found the Joe community when I did. Man, I'm so thrilled to be collaborating with these two.
You stumbled into the wrong people.
Yeah, but like, you know, we're talking about doing the figure and I'm like, fuck, we got to do a card back so he can fucking sign it. And it's like, there's not even like who do we possibly reach out to ask about, you know? It's like, there's someone who's really fucking good at this already, and I know him. It was easy, right? Like, not that long ago, if I wanted to make, like, no fucking shit, a really professional, great-looking hardback, I don't know what, like, I'd have to figure that shit out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It still wouldn't be as good as what he can do.
That's a lot of pressure on me to make sure that Sergeant Slaughter looks like Sergeant Slaughter.
It already does.
I know. I mean, that's my biggest thing is I just don't want to show up and like, you know, like, no, really, it's you, Sergeant Slaughter, really.
It's Jimmy Remus instead of Bob.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just appreciate you guys. And so thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man. No,
we appreciate you.
Aww. A big love fest.
Bringing us together, man.
All the hugs. Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
We did it. I'm so proud of us.
Now I don't know where to find it.
Oh, well, guys, I got 10 minutes left, so let's make this quick.
Are you serious over there, Brian?
No, I'm
not. Okay. No, I was going to say, because that would have been...
No. All right.
Okay, let me see here. I'm going to just hit record.
Okay, so I'm not hearing an echo from Joel.
Me either.
Mark.
It wasn't a very good echo. You're fired, Mark.
Go fuck yourself, Chris. Mark 2 design, not Mark 2 echo.
I think it was Mark 2 intentional echo because he hated Skype. As soon as we switched off Skype, he tweaked them settings.
You guys sending me links to that other, the Restream thing. It's got the dang G.I. Joe entrance, like his podcast. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? You can't see me. Can't hear me. I couldn't tell what's going on. Set me up for failure.
That's what we're all trying to do, right?
True. That makes sense. Seems appropriate. No. Is it just me or does it feel... Oh, same. Doesn't it feel like Mark's camera is like a webcam for like 2003 now?
It's really bad. It's because this laptop. I didn't buy this laptop for the fucking webcam.
That's the camera he uses to take all of his eBay pictures. With the echo gone, I think we're good. If you guys want to just jump in, we can just jump in.
Chris was telling the story of how he took over the Joe Fest custom class from John Russell.
He was painting a picture of violence against John.
Me and John wrestled for it. We had a Jello wrestling match. It was great. It was a great time. And it's I came out victorious. It was a tough fought battle. And should I start without the echo? Should I start fresh?
I would say start over. Yeah.
Okay, but I want to make you guys edit more.
Well, I've already deleted that audio. So
they're going to have so much editing to do already.
This has been the Order of Battle.